Hello, welcome to another episode of the Live Your Full Potential podcast. Today we have a very special guest, Catherine Rolt. She's an integrated Chinese medical practitioner and a trauma and grief recovery specialist. That's very interesting, a recovery specialist, but she helps people with physical and emotional pain. I had a conversation with Catherine a couple of weeks ago, only as a result of someone saying that I should really meet you. And you unraveling me and my pain. And that was very, very unexpected, but I was very grateful for it. So thank you so much. And I'm sure we're going to help people uncover things within themselves in this episode. You were born with a rare disease. You've had many challenges throughout your life. And now you get to help other people with theirs. And you love empowering people very similar to me in mind, body, and spirit. Your two books, The Pain Paradox and Unraveling Disease, or Unravel Disease Naturally, Season by Season, are both on Amazon. And by the videos that I've watched and the reviews, I can confirm that these are life-changing books. So before you even go any further, press stop, go to Amazon, and get Catherine's books and support her, and also learn to understand yourself at a much, much deeper level. You help people understand themselves through your books, through your talks, through your podcasts, interviews, and the work that you do, the private work that you do. And to understand yourself, you've got to understand pain. And I realized that in my first conversation with you. Catherine, thank you so much for being here.
It's a great, great honor. Thank you. And thank you to the darling person who introduced us.
Mr. Andrew Priestley, we have to give him a shout out.
Yeah, we really do.
A great friend, mentor, father figure, is just an incredible man. And I'm very grateful for the introduction.
Yeah.
So Catherine, should we start off with, and I know, forgive me, it's probably a question you get asked in every interview, but it is a truly remarkable story. Can we start with your story and how you ended up? I wanted to say here.
Alive.
I want to say now, because you're all about being here now, how you end up being alive now.
Succinctly as is possible, I was born with multiple layers of disease. So the chemistry, the collagen, the biochemistry, everything in my body doesn't work so-called normally. And that resulted in the first 7 years of my life being almost entirely deaf, which ended up being an incredible gift when I was finally training in integrated Chinese medicine. Because you literally spend years learning how to hear and feel the pulses in people's mind, body, and spirit. And so very early on, I was experiencing the paradox of apparently losing something and gaining something else. But very often when you're in the loss cycles, you don't understand that there is a gift coming. So, and then I've had in total, and it's still not ending, over 41 surgeries, mostly spinal. And even when you are interviewing me and you're going to hear my voice is slightly gravelly, I'd love to think that it was deeply sexy, but the actual real, the reality is that I'm probably going to have to be replated through here. But every single challenge that I have gone through under the umbrella of what I then started training in was understanding deeply the need to surrender and go with the flow of often not understanding why or how. So the thing I'd like to just end answering that question with was my incredible father taught me to never feel sorry for myself, and never say, why me? The only thing he did allow us to say was, why not me? So he very cleverly avoided the extra agony of making things personal in a deconstructive way. So he was already teaching me that whatever happens, you can ask, why not me, but in a constructive way, i.e., if something is happening to you, then it means you can handle it, even if you don't know you have the skills or the tools at the time. And sometimes that's the point of the experiences we have. We unravel and discover another layer of potential. So you're in a win-win, whatever happens, even if it doesn't feel like it.
How lucky you are, how fortunate you are to have had a father teach you that. Imagine the world we would live in if everyone grew up conditioned to believe that everything is happening for me. Wow. Yeah.
Well, we're on a mission, aren't we? JP, we're going to do our little bit. And a little bit, if a mosquito can do such damage. One mosquito, then you and I can, you know, we can
make a big difference.
Yeah, we can.
So most of what you teach is around understanding pain, and something that really blew me away when we first spoke was, for people that don't know, 4 years ago, I got hit by a car. I've got multiple injuries, metal work. And I was saying to you in this call, oh, I'm great, but I've just, oh, pain, so much pain. And when I train, this pain, and I just kept going on about the pain. And, you know, oh, you're a pain specialist. Tell me how to get rid of the pain, Catherine. And you said to me, well, it was an expanded version of this, but it was how lucky you are to feel the pain. And we went around how I coach because I care about people, how I'm vegan because I'm compassionate towards others. And I never in my life thought how lucky I am to feel this pain, because one, it means I'm human. Two, it means I'm alive. Three, it means I'm really on purpose in my life because I feel this pain. So can you share a bit about the importance of understanding your pain, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, and how this serves us, the understanding of the pain?
Okay, so it's a huge, huge subject. And believe it or not, I'm going to talk about tomatoes first. I like to keep everyone on their toes. So I was living in Spain, and we could literally go outside our kitchen and pick a fresh tomato, and it tasted absolutely delicious. Your body kinesthetically knew it was delicious and good for you. Now, I can get in the car after this interview and I can go, so bear with me, everybody, I can go to the local supermarket and I can buy tomatoes that really are homogenized. They have not been put through the seasons, so they aren't a match for what our bodies need. Now, the reason why that's relevant to this subject of pain is because we all need to go through the seasons all of the time so that we experience the full adventure of life. And one of the major aspects of life is that you have yin and yang. You do have pain, you do have suffering, and you do have joy, and you do have excitement. You have a full range of seasonal experiences. And yet there is something about, I rarely talk about the ego, but there is something about our educational system and the arrogance that all of us suffer from, where we are buying, I'm not sure I'm allowed to say this word, but we are buying some BS. Mm. We are buying the illusion that we can control, manipulate, sidestep Mother Nature and her seasons. We and that there won't be any consequences. So we are conning ourselves that tomatoes that have been controlled and manipulated are good for our bodies, which they're not. We eat them out of season, but it's no good for us. And we, when we come across pain on a physical level, we medicate it, we resist it. Now, quantum physics teaches us that what you resist persists. So the first thing about pain, and it doesn't matter what level it's on, is to appreciate immediately with extraordinary levels of humility that there are medications if it's physical pain, or there are anesthetics. But for instance, I happen to be somebody that doesn't absorb anesthetics, and I have come round from spinal surgery without pain relief. So you have to learn very, very fast how extraordinarily powerful and empowered we are. And if you go back 100 years, 70 years, even 50 years, and even now, I've just seen a consultant who flies all over the world and teaches doctors and nurses how to work in Syria, Ukraine, all over the place. And there's very little capacity to get painkillers, and they are going to have to chop someone's leg off. So pain, if you have, and we all have much more courage than we think we have, if you can go into this huge subject of pain, you actually going to discover more and more freedom rather than what we're sort of being conned into believing, which is that we can somehow tidy it up, avoid it. Whereas actually pain is asking us to surrender to the freedom that is found right in the midst of it, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual. We're constantly going to be going through layers and layers and layers. And that is the full experience of the adventure of being alive. That's what I believe. I hope that's maybe answered your question.
Yeah, great answer. And it actually makes me think of your books and the interviews that I've watched. And it all really says embracing pain will allow you to reach your full potential. It'll assist you in allowing you to reach your full potential in life. But just to go back to what you just shared, it'll also give you freedom. So if I use my example before, there was all this heaviness, and, you know, I'm a very positive and driven guy. So all this heaviness of me trying to end the pain and push and, oh, you know, I'll work it out. I'll stretch it out. I'll meditate it out of my body. But when we had that call afterwards for the next few days, I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to allow it. And it brought me freedom from my own limitations that were keeping me trapped in my own story around why I should be pushing this pain away. Yeah. So the next thing I wanted to actually talk about was that allowing and surrendering to the pain. And you mentioned often sitting in your pain. Can you talk a bit about that, surrendering to anyone that's listening and feeling any kind of pain, like you said, physical, mental, emotional, mental? What does that look like, and why should they do it?
Okay, so after 40 years of clinical experience, there are a couple of things that are important here. One is that you learn that we, of course, are all unique. And yet, the majority of us, unless we've got a severe blood disorder, if you cut us, we are going to bleed. That is what is right with us. And in the same way, if life is challenging us, because life is challenging, we are going to be feeling pain. And yet, the dialogue that I've discovered most people have, like 99.9% of people have, is one where the initial, we get pain, whatever level, and we immediately, consciously or unconsciously, go, what's wrong with us? So we're sort of pitched against ourselves, which is not really, it's not really the place to begin to sit with pain. So let me give you a really good example. When I was a stepmother, I had to learn really fast that when the children screamed or were panicked or upset or furious or couldn't cope with their emotional outbursts, what they needed from me was, before I had to obviously assess whether they were bleeding or whatever the problem was, but I had to do it from a place of stillness, and I had to do it from a place of assessing immediately what they really needed. And what they really needed was me not overlaying their experience with questions or kind of my fury because I was frightened, or 100%. they didn't need me to overlay their experience with me. They needed me just to be still with whatever it was, because that gave them the information that they could cope, because I wasn't always going to be there. Their father wasn't always going to be there, and their mother was already not able to be there when, of course, they were with us. So when we can just sit and learn to put our arms metaphorically around ourselves, then actually something stunningly incredible actually emerges, I can't even say that word, from the pain. So the reason why ideally we have to stop running is, one is because we're going to decrease the levels of pain if we don't run. And then as we stay steady with it, it's going to reveal another layer of extraordinary potential, freedom, joy, believe it or not, and all that is the opposite of pain.
Just to reiterate what you just said, or to go back to what you just said, so it's looking at a child and being present to the child rather than rage, fury, questioning, and then turning that on yourself. And that really makes a lot of sense. Well, if you want the best for your child, and that's the answer, to just be present and understand, that's exactly what we should be doing for ourselves. And about 5 years ago, I'm still a student of this work. And like I said, the conversation I had with you before was profound, but I've been practicing this for quite a few years. And every year I'd like to think I get a little bit better. And about 5 years ago, I went to something called, do you know Vipassana meditation?
Yeah.
And it was so interesting, because for people that don't know, Vipassana is sitting in 10 days for 10 days in silence and meditating for 10 to 11 hours a day. So essentially you're doing the same thing every day. But on day 3, day 5, day 7, you would all of a sudden just have someone laugh, smile, break down in tears, shouting, have to leave the room. And I would imagine it's because of what you're saying. They took 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, however long it took, to be in the allowing and the surrendering to observe, and then something would come up that has not come up for a long time. And I forgot about that. And it makes a lot of sense now listening to you. Like, people go in, they're an addict, and on day 3, something comes from their pain, and that I can't do this. And all of a sudden, boom, something happens. And they go, I've never touched a drink since. Yeah. That's exactly what you're saying. Freedom from what's holding. Oh, it's just, which makes me want to go and meditate now.
we're so hijacked by our illusions. And it's not, we need to be hijacked by our illusions in order to discover and unravel that isn't a truth that sets us free.
And so when we look, I thought you were done.
No, I'm done.
And when we think in real practical terms, you know, listening to your body, listening to your intuition, most people don't even at the end of a day go, tell me, body, what do you need right now?
Yeah.
Most people, and when I mean most, I mean probably like what, 90% of people don't even do that. What do you need right now? Is that a lot of the work that you do with people to get them to, like I said, very simply just listen to their body more or better?
Yeah. I mean, one of the really simple tips I give people is if you're really serious about mastering yourself, because you are the greatest gold mine or lottery winner of all time for yourself. So if you want that lottery win, you get to know yourself. You make a commitment. And the first thing you can do is you ask yourself at least 3 times a day or every time you're having a pee or whatever it is, when you've got private, sacred time to yourself, you just check in and you go, how am I? How am I feeling? Because most people do not have a clue how they feel. They even have, if they're doing, and I really hope I don't mean this disparagingly, or I hope, I definitely don't mean it disparagingly, but I hope it doesn't come across as this. Mm-hmm. People get into the rhetoric of being a positive person, which still, in my experience anyway, means they are overlaying their real emotional states and the knowledge that is in their emotional state with positivity. And if you really started landing in being present, there is actually no such thing as positive or negative. And that is deeply challenging, because we, as we're growing into maturity, we want these cowboys and Indian stories. You know, there's the goodies, there's the baddies, there's the darkness, there's the light. We've got to get into the light, but we can't get into the light without the darkness. So you can't dismiss the darkness. You can't dismiss the pain.
You can't have the day without the night.
Exactly.
And how many times have we heard of people that take their life, and then in the wake of their life, people are like, "You don't understand, they were always happy all the time."
Yeah.
And actually more closer to home.
Yeah.
My father was the center of attention, people pouring outside the church at his funeral. And he died at a young age because he took his life because he was in so much pain.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this very week I was speaking to one of the dearest, most powerful souls that I know on this planet at the moment. And I, only because of the pain that I've gone through, I was given, first of all, I was given the nudge to make a phone call at a critical time for them. And then secondly, I knew to just be still as they hit a pain level that they didn't think they could go through. And a few days later, they're still alive. And that moment has passed. So I think we're coming into a time when we all are going to get better at listening and being still enough for people to experience their realities without feeling the need to fix or steer or kind of slightly manipulate or lay over our understanding. We need to have the courage to let other people begin to have their own understanding. And then they become free. And we're doing it on the backs of each other. So if I have the courage to go through another layer, and never ever make out, "I've arrived," then someone else can. I can piggyback off somebody. Somebody can piggyback off me. That's the really humbling part and aspect of us being and needing to be human.
I love that, and it really resonates with me so much in how I choose to live my life and the messages that I share, always saying that I'm never there, I've never not lived life, I'm still working on things. And you're right. it gives other people permission to do the same.
Yeah.
You just reminded me of something that I haven't thought of in many years. I was probably around 30. I was already coaching for quite a few years, and I was sent a kid that was in a lot of trouble. He was a professional skateboarder. I'm trying to remember all the details, around 19 years old. He had a very big sponsor. I won't mention their name. And then he came out as gay and he lost his sponsorship. And he believed it was because he came out as gay. And the only thing that he loved in the world, he couldn't do anymore, or at least he got dropped from doing that thing that he loved so much. And a friend/client sent it to me and said, JP, I need you to help this kid. And he was doing all of these doing things. He was doing socializing out every night. He was doing partying. He was doing drugs. And actually, when I was there with him, because I understood suffering from when I was young, in hindsight now, what I know I did was I was just being with him, and I would just be present, and we would just talk, and there was no agenda. And I would just ask him, like, what do you love? And anyway, long story made very short, he ended up studying to be a personal trainer, getting off drugs, stopped dealing drugs, and he became a very healthy, good-looking young man with a new future. And like I said, in hindsight now, I think it's because I wasn't asking him to do stuff. I was just reeling him in and saying, let's just be here right now, and let me understand you more, and let you understand you more. So yeah, really, really amazing share.
One of the key things that I'm noticing more and more and more that underlies people's suffering is their inability to just be with it. One of the most important things you can learn is to shut up and listen. Whereas most of us, and I include, I mean, I was a practitioner. I had been for 20 years, and there was suddenly a moment in the treatment room, and I just will remember it's the end of my day. I had my little stethoscope, white coat, blah, blah, blah. I was wandering around the back of the treatment couch, and I suddenly realized in one of those wonderful moments when you go, aha, and I thought, I don't know how to listen. As my patient is talking, I am trying to work out what the diagnosis is. That means I'm not listening. That means I'm not present. Right. Okay. I am going to begin to nail this between now and the rest of my life. And I over and over and over again catch myself not listening. And I'm a far better human being to myself and to others because I now practice as an absolute priority shutting up and listening to what isn't being said as well.
So true. What do you need to pay attention to that you're not paying attention to? In the world that we live in today, there's a lot of overwhelm. And in my research and studying of your work, I know that's something that you really help people with is emotional and physical overwhelm. Yeah, emotional and physical. Yeah. There's going to be people listening to this that are thinking, that's me. I'm emotionally overwhelmed right now, or physically overwhelmed, or both, because it probably is going to be both, right?
Yeah.
Because it's going to manifest in your body, your emotions. What is a really good place to start for people to, if they recognize that they're overwhelmed, to reduce that overwhelm, anxiety, stress, pain, discomfort, et cetera, or dis-ease?
Okay, so I'm smiling in a way with the pleasure of a question, because this very week, almost every single person I've talked to has been absolutely acutely on top of chronically overwhelmed. And the first thing that I do when the opportunity comes, is to remind us all that that is what is right with us. So I heard a very scary thing the other day. Someone had just done a 3-day training on dementia, and statistically they know that young people are getting dementia increasingly because their brains are overloaded. Now, that is a horrifically, as far as I'm concerned, catastrophic reality that is hurtling towards us.
That's so frightening.
Yeah, it is. If you're not frightened by this story, then there really is something wrong with you. You really have gone numb. So for those of you who have gone numb and you know you're numb, please, and I really mean this urgently, seek help. Now, for those of you who know you're frightened by that story and you know you're overwhelmed, it is absolutely paramount that you humbly and gratefully accept that you are overwhelmed, because that is what is going to actually encourage you to make changes and to know what those changes are. So all of us are going to have to start paying attention to the gifts that the internet brings and the gifts that all these machines bring to us. But at the same time, we have to be humbly much more aware of what it's doing to all of our brains. So let me ground this. The liver and the gallbladder is our decision maker and our planner and our strategist. So when our livers and our gallbladders are being bombarded with too many decisions, we get very depleted and exhausted, and then we get irritated and anxious. That's the average normal healthy response. So it's like a red flag going. So if you're driving your car, you know the tire pressure or whatever is off because there's a little flag. Well, our bodies, when we're beginning to feel irritable and anxious, that's two red flags on the bonnet of our cars, which is ourselves. So firstly, literally just sit, and if you're willing to, every single moment of every single day, just for one day, just go, thank you. So every single time you know you're overwhelmed and you maybe are thinking you're going to have a breakdown or it's too much or whatever, just go, thank you. So, and you'll know that you're in gratitude because your shoulders will go down and you'll start breathing just deeper. Because if you know there's not something wrong with you on top of being overwhelmed, that already makes a difference. Just, and then when you're ready, and people are kinesthetic, visual, auditory, you need to discover which is your primary way of interacting with the world. So if it's writing lists, you write a list of what are the top three things that are overwhelming you. You're overtired, you're lonely, you're financially burdened, you're a carer. What are the top three things? And then if you sit with it and just go, whatever your belief system is, know that you, the little you, doesn't have to find the answer. And you allow yourself to just open up to universal wisdom. It will come to you. And the solutions can be downloaded. And ask for help.
Yeah, I'll put that as a strong number three. Strong number three. I love the first part of that answer. Humbly acknowledge and accept that you're overwhelmed. That is powerful, because now you go from thinking to knowing and you go, right, let's go to work.
Yeah.
And then I love that next step of just seeing what works for you and sit with it and see what comes up. And, you know, I live my life by my intuition. And for that, I have to be able to listen to my intuition. And I have had the most amazing solutions to problems come from me listening to what comes up. So I totally agree with what you're saying, with what Catherine is saying about listening to your inner wisdom. And most people will shock themselves when they give themselves time and space with what comes up.
Yeah. I'm also going to add another tip. If you're overwhelmed and you're able to go for a walk in nature, get away from your computer, get away from your phone, get away from conversations and go for a walk. Move your body, because your liver and your gallbladder is likely to have got stuck energetically. So movement, and I don't mean in the gym, get away from all the noise. Go for a walk in trees.
Nature is God's doctor. And I've heard you talk about nature before. Can you just share with the listeners the role nature plays in healing?
Okay, so this is the thing that I'm the most passionate
about. Yeah, I was going to say, this is like your whole life.
So nature is in us. And sadly, we're not at all that enough. And there are five major seasons, energetic seasons going on in our bodies the whole time. Most people only think four. And the interesting thing is that the fifth season is, in a way, it's the most, all of them are really important, but the fifth season that we have going on inside of us is connected to your spleen and your stomach, which is about thinking, and it's about transforming and transporting everything, mentally, physically, spiritually. Mm. So, and it's also about the harvest time. It's like Indian summer weather. But it really is the time in the year when we get to, I was brought up on a farm, and you've done the harvest and you're assessing, can you get through the next season? What do you need? So the seasons within us, the more you get to know how to live and harness nature within you, the more you're going to be in the flow of your own dynamic, vibrant energy. And I'm going to end this little bit with the thing that gives me such joy and such fulfillment knowing about this particular subject, is that the absence of signs and symptoms in our life is not vibrant, dynamic health. So in other words, if you truly begin to understand nature, which is an ongoing journey that you will be on for the rest of your life, I certainly am, you will begin to understand that every sign and symptom is taking you towards more maturity, more health, more ability to respond to life on life's terms. So it's the greatest thing that I think anybody can do for themselves, is just start flowing with what Mother Nature is telling us. There is nothing as wise as nature.
Nothing as wise as nature. Do you ever talk about like mini seasons? Like, let me give you an example. Let's say in a day I have a summer in the afternoon and I'm go, and I'm like super productive, and then I'll get to a point where, rather than pushing and say no, I must keep being more productive, I'll be like, no, now it's time for me to chill, or now it's time for me to walk outside. And then weirdly that gives me energy when actually I was depleted before, thinking that I had no energy. Does that make sense? And do you ever talk about that?
So when you diagnose, you'll diagnose sort of, in a sense, you'll diagnose the energetic imbalances, but then you'll say that someone is, let's say, imbalanced in the what we call the winter energy, but will also go deeper. So there'll be, let's say there'll be water, but fire within. So it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And the fun of what I'm doing at the moment is attempting to get this exquisitely complex but simple sacred medicine that has been out there for over 7,000 years and more, really into kind of our everyday language. So again, if you're going with nature, so in the summer, it's absolutely imperative if you're in a summer season. So a membership that I run, we have people in their winter when we're in the summer, which makes it even more fun because I'm encouraging people in the winter to really hibernate. And then I'm encouraging the people that are here in the summer to really, like that lovely photograph of Marilyn Monroe when she just threw her shoes in the air and she was just laughing outrageously. We need to have sort of metaphorical picnics and fun and joy, and we need to grab hold of those people we love, and we go to hell with cooking. We're going out, we're gonna, you know, go and potter in the sea. We really need, our body needs those moments of just pure joy. And a lot of people who come to me are highly successful. They are full on the outside, but empty on the inside, and living with a complete lack of joy. So absolutely within every single day, there's the seasons. There's the time to eat, there's the time to drink, there's an ideal time to make love. There's absolutely magical, sacred time for all things.
I recently read, just doing my own, being a student of life, I read about the word enjoy, and I think it was taken from Latin, or I read somewhere that the en in enjoy means to make. So to enjoy means to make joy. So when someone says, I found this really fascinating, when someone says enjoy, it's not just like, oh, if you're lucky enough, enjoy the moment or enjoy the meeting. No, it's make joy. And related to the work that you and I do, different work, but helping people, you can't make joy when you're in pain and suffering and tired and exhausted or living a life that isn't yours. So, yeah, really powerful stuff. Really, really powerful stuff.
I think, JP, that I mean, this is the wonderfulness of, I guess, getting to this point in my life. I have opinions, but they're very lightly held, because I now know that one of the motivating factors in my life was I used to jump into taxis when I could jump in between hospital appointments. And it was a theme for about a year and a half, all the time, because I always chatter to anyone and find out what's needed in the moment. And I have a huge adventure with complete strangers, and you know, they will just reveal their lives to me. It's very humbling. But for a year and a half, I had men and women taxi drivers in London always ending, they knew nothing about me. They would assume that maybe I had been looking after someone in a hospital, because I always look so well. And they would always end with this sentence: if you have your health, then you're going to be okay. And I used to get out of the cab going, yes, but I don't have my health. Does that mean I can't, I'm not going to make it? Anyway, I took it to prayer. Prayer is the word I use for meditation. And what I discovered, and this is connected to what you've just said, is that actually, I do have a life that is mostly, I'm given the opportunity to be challenged by pain and all sorts of things because of these health challenges. And it does become possible to access ludicrous levels of joy. So I think that's the constant paradox, that to begin with, on these journeys, we can't. I mean, if you'd asked me to access joy last night, I would have said, JP, get lost. I'm not going to, I can't. After 11 hours of sleep, I'm straight back into feeling joy. Are the issues that exhausted me still there? Yes. But in order to be in joy today, back in joy, I needed those 11 hours.
Sleep. Yeah, exactly.
So that's the, what I love about the work you do, JP, and I do, is having access to so many tools that we really can go, hey, when the time is right for the next bit of movement or growth, give this a go, see if that works for you. Whereas when I began, and probably when you began, you know, our toolbox wasn't very full.
Yes.
It was full of what didn't work.
Yeah.
Frankly, you know. So then, I don't know about you, but I just tried harder. You know, I was constantly with the same screwdriver, just trying harder. Screw.
Yeah.
And now I just do.
That's so many people. I'm not doing it hard enough. I'm not doing it quick enough. I need to do it more often.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
that actually brings me, it's a perfect segue to my final question, and I could just keep talking to you for hours. I'm very grateful that you're going to be joining us in our mastermind as our expert speaker later this month. Like I said, perfect segue. I have done some crazy things in my life, from living in silence for 16 days, climbing the Great Wall of China, meditated for 10,000 hours, living with Shaolin warrior monks in Europe, and ordaining as a Buddhist monk. And I'm sure, not that I care, but I'm sure many people think, well, this guy is crazy, he's all over the place, whatever. But the reason why I do all of these things is because I know that I'm nowhere near my full potential. And although it's good for us to have strategies and tools, like you mentioned, to take us towards our full potential, we've also got to have the knowing that there are certain reasons why we're not already there. And that's, for me, has been a big obsession in mine. And that's finding out the root causes of why I am where I am, why I am who I am, and why I do what I do. How important is it to, whether you work with a coach or with me or with you, or you go ordained as a Buddhist monk, to understand yourself at a much deeper level, how important is it to find the root cause, the absolute root cause of your problems, as opposed to just finding a solution to fix it?
I'm going to answer this way. There actually is no, there is no choice. So we all end up having to find out what the roots are, because that is where we find our home. And all of us need to go home. So it's, you know, your work, JP, I know, is absolutely exquisite with people. And you're somebody that's safe. So, you know, the fact that you've actually had the courage to keep on being this extraordinary person and to keep on allowing the sacred messages to come through the suffering and the pain and the struggles is actually what makes you so exquisite. And the more at home you are within yourself, the more you can invite other people to come home. Mm. And it's by constantly, I mean, my particular word is unraveling, because we're constantly unraveling another layer of ourselves. And that, when we're doing that and we're doing it deliberately and consciously, in a way, the freer we are, because every single struggle suddenly has meaning. And I had a absolutely phenomenal thing said to me yesterday by someone that's worked with me for 5 years. This week, without giving any details, some deep ancestral stuff came up to do with family. And for most young people, they would have just been shunted right off their game, as it were. And this darling human being said to me, if I hadn't learned to get to the roots of the next layers of my own potential, I would have been shunted right off. Whereas actually, I've amazed myself by having immediately this consciousness of, oh, this is for me, not against me, and what is no longer appropriate to be in my life is leaving me. And it's quite shocking, and I'm quite hurt, but I actually get it, so I'm not so frightened by it. So I think that's the answer, that if we're not getting at the roots of stuff, then in a way we are consciously, unconsciously causing more and more entanglement. And entanglements and clutter don't work for us. So I'll just leave you with this thought. Being brought up on a farm, you know, there were seasonal actions that regularly took place, and everyone used to come off the farm fields just before the winter began, and everywhere, all the barns, the houses, the everything, all the guttering outside the houses would be cleared of dead leaves and summer straw or whatever. Now, we regularly need to declutter. We need to declutter on the surface and declutter deeply internally. And we need to really go into the unique roots that we have, because it's in the unique roots that we go, I'm not supposed to be a plumber. I'm actually supposed to be a teacher. And I'm much happier being a teacher. I've come from a generation of plumbers, and I thought that was my calling. It isn't. But that particular person wasn't going to make that change unless they went to the roots. So does that answer that question?
So well. And I hope this conversation encourages people to have the courage to keep going home, because like you shared, and what I'm going to do, if we do that, and when we do that, we allow other people, we show other people the way home. And I mean, that's just amazing on so many levels and so for so many reasons. Catherine, thank you so much. To everyone listening, you can find Catherine Rolt on LinkedIn. You can find her on Amazon, like I said. You can find her on YouTube, listen to her talks or interviews. I'm sure if you type her name in Google, you'll find blogs and articles. She's everywhere, and you're a gift to anyone that's willing to listen to you. It's been a real pleasure, and I look forward to continue to grow our friendship and to our next installment later this month.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Catherine.